Will, I am so stoked for you to be here today. How the heck are you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. Appreciate it. We've been talking a long time. It's good to finally meet up with you and talk a little bit. So yeah, it's
Yeah.
been a busy year to say the least, but it's been great. It's been an extraordinary journey so far, and we got a lot of cool things in the work. So yeah, it's exciting.
It is, man. Well, I want to dive in. There's a lot of different questions I got for you. But I guess let's kind of just start a little bit, kind of giving people a little bit of one-on-one on your background. Let's talk about where you're from, how you got involved in hunting, fishing, the outdoor lifestyle. Maybe, who were some of your mentors? Is this something that you grew up with your family? And just kind of give us a little sneak peek into that, and then we'll kind of walk through to all the amazing things you got kicking these days.
So I was born and raised in Western Montana, small town Phillipsburg, Montana. I graduated with 14 kids. There wasn't a whole lot to do but fish and hunt and play sports, chase girls. That's all you did, so I grew up with the love of the outdoors, and my uncle Elmo actually is the one that initially got me into hunting and got me interested in everything in the outdoor space. And he's since passed, so it's kind of a cool legacy to carry on for him. And the outdoors and hunting has helped me in so many ways throughout the years. It's incredible. But yeah, we just grew up working hard. My family was in the lumber industry and sawmilling industry. So we learned a lot about business along the way. Picked up things we didn't know we picked up, and after high school, joined the military, spent some time overseas in Iraq, and came back and started business. Wanted to hit the ground running when I got back from overseas, and started my first business, and moved forward from there, and did well in some business, and did poor, made some mistakes, and lost my butt, and that's all part of growing and learning, got into real estate, and real estate crashed, and lost everything again, had to start over again, in 2009, 2010, I was young, I was in my 20s, and I learned a lot about overextending and overextending your credit, and it just a lot about the financial world, which is really good. It's the best thing that ever happened to me, honestly. So I had to start over again. And then a good friend of mine introduced me to the president over at what then was Critical Power Exchange, just an equipment brokerage company. I worked there for over 7 years, where I really went entry level and moved my way up through the company. Loved the industry, the equipment, the people. I gained some unbelievably good mentors within the industry and just business sense itself. Glenn Hansen and Mark McKelvey and Eddie Becerelli and different people that really just gave me a lot of things along the way, just a wealth of knowledge, that really helped me and that stick with me all the time, so from there, I was asked to get into higher management to help run the company, and really it was a company owned by a group that really didn't have interest in investing in the business, where it needed to go. So I was either going to go start my own business at that point or buy the assets of their company. And, it was losing $1.5 million a year at that point. It was a mess. And for a lot of different reasons, there was high turnover. There wasn't investment in the inventory. There was mismanagement. There was a lot of different things, that happens in a lot of businesses. But ultimately, they agreed to sell me the assets of the company. When they did that, like I said, we were losing our butts, and my team had the faith in me to stick it out. The ownership had quit paying the lease at our headquarters. We got a 3-day vacate notice before I even finished the purchase. So we were scrambling. We either had to shut the doors or find a place to work until we could find a permanent home. Within a day, we found what it used to be like an old church. And it had been many different things, but it was almost right across the street from our building. It had no Cat 5 going into it. It had really nothing that we needed to operate because we were online sales and project management. So we moved into there within 72 hours. The whole team rallied up and we moved over there, worked off hotspot for several months and wireless internet, which was a terror in itself. But eventually got up and running. I got the purchase completed. And then my good friend Ryan Beckenhauer, he worked with me to get a new headquarters over in Post Falls. So we started designing and putting together a just awesome new headquarters. And the following February, exactly 1 year after the purchase closed, we moved over to Idaho. And Idaho really wanted to move some of our industry into the state. So there were some great folks over there that helped us out and gave us a lot of incentives to move over to Idaho. So ever since then, we've just been terrorizing the town, man. We've been growing like crazy and blessed with the most amazing employees you could ever ask for, which is the only reason I get to do it. I love to do and I'm passionate about now, you know? So, our average tenure there is over 9 years. And, we just have so much trust and love in that company, you know, and everybody helps everybody out. And it's something I've never witnessed before and so grateful for it. So, that's been a heck of a journey you know, along the way, got married to a wonderful woman and had two small children. My little man is 5 now and my little girl Ava is 7. You know, and things were going in 2 different directions. So that ended up in a divorce, which was so difficult in itself having kids, but turned out to be really good, I think, for both of us and for the kids. I spend way more time with them now. You know, so went through that. And now my new gal and I have another baby girl coming in May, and the kids are super excited. So yeah, it's been a whirlwind to say the least.
Well, and that's not even, we haven't even brought in what kind of first connected us was with your, all the different things that you got going on centered around the hunting and the outdoor lifestyle. You know, you talk about bringing teams together that work amazing in all sorts of facets of your work life, but now you're doing this and, you know, your passion project, which I can only assume will be becoming more of a work project as this builds, but you've been traveling all across the world, hunting, bringing people, maybe people with special needs or needing to have those experiences, you know, life-changing events. Working with veterans, you're working with all sorts of different people, you know, teaming up with some amazing folks in the outdoor world to provide these experiences that are just so enriching. So I want to know, when did that begin to happen in that pivot? And I mean, you showed me the highlight reel of some of the hunts that you have, you know, been on, you're filming, some of the behind the scenes of what you got going on. And it's incredible. And I know that is, you know, an assumed to be release thing. So I just kind of want to give people an idea of where you kind of got involved in this and, you know, where this is going. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about other side ventures and just kind of if you can bring it into that avenue, and then we'll kind of dive deep and into some things you got kicking this next year.
Yeah. So the outdoors, like I said, it's always been in my blood, you know, it's always been my safe place, you know? And, when I got back from overseas, and many of the guys that I serve with, really that getting back into the outdoors and just getting in the mountains and the peace and the tranquility of the outdoors is really what made me feel good again, you know, and whole again. And a good friend of mine, Daniel, he and I, he actually started it and I co-founded Wilderness for Warriors. And that was an organization that he poured his whole life into, every bit of it. And it took me 2 seconds to know that I wanted to be part of it, you know, it was helping so many people get back into something that they love, you know, and take all the negativity and whether it's PTSD, whether it's physical ailment, loss of limbs, whatever it was from overseas, there was something that happened when we got into the outdoors and into the mountains started sharing stories and adventures and things like that, that just brought people to a better place, you know. And that was, you know, a decade ago. And ever since then, it's just been a big part of my heart and who I am, and have just wanted to give back as much as possible. And about a year and a half ago, you know, I've throughout the years, I've suffered with my own depression, PTSD, you know, all the way down to suicidal thoughts and weird stuff that you can never explain until you're in the middle of it. And, you know, and it made me feel even worse because I was so blessed in life with such good people around me, whether it's family, employees, beautiful children, you know, everything from the outside looking in, you know, you've got everything in life and people don't understand it. But, you know, I went through such a dark time where I didn't even want to be here anymore. And some things transpired and when I came out the other side of that, I was so grateful for the few people I had in my life that were constants. They were constantly beating my door down, just making sure I was okay, you know, and trying to get me out and things like that. A lot of people in your life are afraid to dive in when you're going through something that's really dark and really bad. People kind of take the distance, you know, and kind of want to stay away from it, which is fine. But, you know, the few people that were constantly by my side and they drug me through it, you know, and got me through it, are instrumental in even being able to get through to the other side of it. But when that happened, I knew that I was still here for a reason, and that reason's to help other people get through hard times. And it doesn't have to be, you know, PTSD from war or from anything like that. It can be anybody going through a hard time or just needing to pick me up. Or, sure. You know, we've taken some incredible children on hunts that, you know, have been abused in the past. That, you know, this amazing little girl Ella, we took on an elk hunt this year, and her and her family have dwarfism, and you know, she's just this sweetest, cutest little thing in the world, but she can't really fit behind a rifle. And you know, growing up with that, I can only imagine the kind of criticism you get and just the bad people out there that feed you crap every day, you know. Sure. And she went out and got a monster bull. I mean, her confidence level was through the roof. It was so special to see, you know. And then we took another little girl, Aspen, and she's actually our little ambassador. Her and her dad and good friend of mine now, Todd, we took them down to Texas, and she had been previously abused pretty bad. And since her father had gotten full custody of her, but she was going through a really hard time, and we took her down, and just, I mean, we were all in tears the whole trip, you know. And, you know, we went down to try to help her and just get her in a good space and get to where she could trust guys again and know that she has family and people that support her and love her. And it ended up changing us all. I mean, we had, you know, my team, my camera guy, my good friends from Texas, my buddy that owns the ranch down there, it was such a special trip for all of us. I mean, we were all in tears throughout the trip, you know. So, you know, and then recently we took Donnie. He's been in my life for several years as a contractor, and he's just one of those guys that you gravitate to, you know, just an amazingly good guy and huge heart. And over the last year and a half, he's been fighting with cancer, and thought it was going well. A little over a month ago, I guess now, the doctor said they couldn't do anything, and he only had about 2 months to live, which is just for anybody. That's the worst thing you want to hear. He's got a beautiful wife, Mary, and family and friends. So we wanted to do something for him and his family, just as, you know, a last, let's get out there, have some fun, get your mind off everything and make some memories, you know? And, so we took him and Mary and his best friend, Randy, down to Texas. This was just a few weeks ago. And he had some bucket list items that he wanted to hunt, you know, a black buck, an axis, an oryx, a big whitetail. And we were able to witness him, you know, putting the smack down on all these animals. And same thing, you know, there's tears, you're fighting back tears the whole time. Mary's crying and making us all want to cry, and like just so much emotion, you know. And my better half Hannah filmed the whole thing, and we're gonna put a big film together for his family so that that they can all witness it and watch it in the future. And it was amazing, man. And we got everything back home really quick, and my good friend Nick with Wildlife Creations, he busted everything through overnight to get everything bleached and cleaned up so the family could enjoy the horns with Donnie, you know, and he can kind of show off his trophies, you know, before he gets taken from us. So there's so much good that comes from bad situations, if you allow it, you know. And so it's a blessing to just be a part of it, you know. And I've lived so many selfish years, you know, as a youngster, and just a punk, you know, like everything's about you and what you're going to accomplish and the cars you're going to have and the big houses you're going to have and all that stuff. And, you know, to finally find your place in life and being humbled enough to want to do nothing but give everything back has been a huge blessing. And, you know, God is pointing me in a direction that I'm very, very blessed for and appreciate every day for sure. So,
well, when you open the door for that kind of spirit to come in and help kind of direct those things, sometimes you're not in the driver's seat. You're sitting maybe in that, you know, the passenger seat, letting that kind of the next experience come, because as you do all these things and you give back, it's more people want to get involved. More people want to be able to help. I've seen those, you know, those posts you've done. It's inspirational. It, you know, it makes other people think, myself included, like, what can I do to give back to my community? What can I do to give back, especially to veterans, you know, who've, and the veteran families, you know, it's not just the veterans who go through this stuff. It's the families too. Everyone's affected. I mean, and you look at things that, you know, terminal cancer, you look at the struggles that, you know, young children be left without mothers and fathers. There's so many different heavy things. But when you can put that spark of light and love and just pure spirit out there and, you know, be able to film it and have that experience. And like you said, even like the antlers and things that you're giving back to them, so you can kind of have those moments and those memories that will last forever. There's so much that's enriching about that. You know, my hat's off to you for what you're doing. And I can't wait to see it, because I know that we're just talking about a few examples from like this year and like, there are so many things that you've been doing throughout the years and the things you have planned. You know, why don't you talk to me about kind of the idea of what you want to have as far as, you know, your, this idea of like a show, as an experience of a movement of having these types of experiences, giving back, you know, how do you foresee this moving forward? And I know like a lot of vehicles like this, once they kind of gain traction, you never know where they can go. So I don't expect, you know, I know there might be not absolutes, but what is it that you're wanting to do and kind of moving this forward from today here on?
So really when I decided to build the main platform, which we don't even have a name for yet, because it's something that it's really special to me and Hannah and the other people that are involved in it. And it's going to be more than just a hunting show. You know, right. We're not just sitting in the Midwest hunting whitetails, even though I love it. You can see it. Whitetails are my absolute addiction. Yeah, they're my absolute addiction. But we want to bring more adventure to it, and we want to bring more of the giving back aspect to it. So if we go to Africa, if we go to Spain, if we go to the Yukon, if wherever we go, we want to give back. We want to help. We want to educate people on local conservation efforts and why we hunt the animals that we're hunting and why it's so important to their species and others in the region, you know. And so there's going to be a lot more to it than just hunting. And right. We're going to we've got a lot of surprises. We're going to release on you know, main network TV, as well as YouTube, and we're going to work with some of the best in the business. You know, we've got some incredible names in the industry that are partnering with myself to be on the show, and they've got the same hearts. You know, they like to give back. They like to get youth into the outdoors and hunting, things like that. That is so meaningful, you know, and we're not releasing any of it yet, but it's getting close, you know, and we want feedback on a name. It's something that we're going to do a giveaway surrounded around, you know, giving input for the platform name, just because it's got to be special, and it's got to be something that comes from inspiration. And you know, so it sounds silly because we've been working on it for over a year, and we've thrown around, you know, 1,000 different names, but it just hasn't hit us all yet. So really that main platform is to build an audience, and building that audience to be able to help people and really inspire other people to give back a little bit, and then just put a helping hand out, you know. And the Other Side Ventures is my platform that I started a while back. And that's really where I take the kids out and veterans and disabled veterans and different folks that just need help. And you know, I don't have an official nonprofit. I've never taken any donations, anything like that. I just do it as I can, you know, which can be pretty taxing in itself. So we're going to build this main platform to be able to support that a little bit, and then we'll just collaborate with the Other Side Ventures, and we'll have awesome hunts and episodes with our veterans, with our youth, with things like that. And I think it's going to be a lot more inspirational, you know, and it has absolutely changed my life and made me into a complete different person. I, you know, I didn't like who I was in the past and, you know, for a lot of different reasons, and held a lot of guilt and a lot of pain and different things like that. And this has really given me a second chance, not just to give back and help people, but it's given me a second chance with my family, with my kids, with my companies and employees, with really everything. So, you know, being 40 years old now and really getting a new lease on life has been absolutely incredible for me, and so blessed to have the opportunity, because I honestly didn't know how I was going to crawl out of the hole that I came from, you know, and a lot of ups and downs and things like that. So really that's what the platform is going to be, is to create inspiration and show people that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that there is opportunity, that there is adventures out there that anybody can go on, you know, and we want to take those people on them, and we want to help people out, and we're going to do some wild, crazy hunts along the way. And we've got some big things in store, but really there's going to be a lot more mixed into it, you know, and hopefully inspire more to do the same. So,
you know, that being able to show that all the stories behind the hunts is so incredible. You know, there's so many wonderful shows out there that you know, can teach you from A to Z educational, yeah, going out in the woods, hunting this place, you know, and giving you tips and tricks and things too. And you know, I'm not knocking any of them. I think that's great to have that out there. I think having that human aspect of like what's happening, the things that you're doing to fulfill, you know, enrichment and just experience and happiness, positivity, and helping people, you know, cross that other side of their struggles is paramount. And it's something that I can totally see, you know, everyone get behind that, because it's like the entertainment thing, but it like fills your heart and makes feel good being a part of that network. And, you know, when you build things like that, everyone else just wants to come aboard and be a part of that too. So I can't wait to see, you know, where this, you know, goes to, all the links that y'all will be, you know, going to like have all these hunts around the world and, you know, enrich so many lives. So, you know, kudos to you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. Can't wait to see all the things you have lined up. You know, when we talk about going all around the world, you showed me a highlight reel of just some of your, you know, films of some of these hunts with some of these veterans or people that kind of needed to be out there in the woods for their own enrichment. And it's all across the board. I mean, how many countries have you now gone to? You've probably done every state in the U.S. now and then beyond.
yeah. So we've hunted many, many states. This year we got to do a lot of whitetail hunting, which obviously is a huge passion of mine. And so we've done, you know, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Idaho, Montana, Iowa, Texas, many states. I'm sure I'm missing a lot of them, but you know, we've been able to hunt the Yukon with my good buddy Logan with Midnight Sun Outfitters. He's been trying to drag me up there for years, and he finally got me up there this last year, and we ended up just having an incredible time, man. And it was so humbling, like being way back in the Yukon. You know, you're dropped off on a float plane, and it's pretty gnarly. And it was the best experience ever. You know, having nothing was the best part, you know, and being back up there and horse packing in, and we saw some absolutely unbelievable animals and harvested some incredible critters. And, but we made some lifelong friendships, and, you know, there were some struggles. There was definite cold, nasty weather. And then we were super fortunate with some great weather for several days. And so that was a super cool one. We did, Kodiak Island for brown bear. And, that's where I met who now is one of my best friends, Dan Welker. You know, he's probably the only crazier hunter than myself. He hunts year round, and he's got some world records archery and just a stud, you know, and him and I just got back from Mexico. Mule deer hunting together, and he's going to be a big part of this new platform as well. And then we spent quite a bit of time in Africa, in different places where, you know, I met Garrett Rash. You know, he's a huge guy in the outdoors industry, and we've become very good friends, and you know, he's a part of this new platform, and have you know, we went to Spain hunting a couple times, and met some amazing people over there, and pretty much everywhere. I feel like we've been a lot of places, but you know, the hunts are one thing, and I don't take anything away from the hunt. They were incredible experiences, but more so the people that I've been able to surround myself with, and now like our family, and we're building this thing together. Yeah. I feel like it all happened for a reason, you know, and every little place we went, I was impacted by people, you know, and I was inspired by people. And so it's been incredible this last year, just really building a network of good, like-minded people. I feel like the outdoors and the hunting industry is just, that's the one place where I can meet people and just feel like they're genuine, like they're good people, and they have, you know, like minds and like hearts, and you know, there's always bad apples in anywhere you go, but the outdoors, I've just met the best people, man, and it's been awesome. So we're definitely excited to do a lot more and go a lot more places. We got to take some veterans over to Africa this last trip, and it was just mayhem. There was, I had two veterans, one of my employees and friends, and then Hannah and I, and we met Garrett and a couple of other good folks over there. And I think in 11 days, we harvested 123 animals, which was unreal. Yeah. Wow. So those boys had fun, to say the least.
Yeah.
Africa is a target rich environment anyways, you know, but, it was so cool to see those guys, you know, being able to harvest kudu and Cape buffalo and all these cool animals, you know, and you know, they're lifelong friends now, you know, and Bryant and Michelle were, they came over there with us, and you know, he had lost his leg and almost his other leg and several other things in Iraq getting blown up. And the guy is an absolute inspiration. You know, every day he gives back, you know, he is so positive, and him and his wife both are very involved with different nonprofits and helping other veterans out and things like that. And those are the guys that we want to help. You know what I mean? Those are the guys that deserve a break and deserve to go on a trip like that. Cause they're giving all of themselves, you know? So it's been pretty special for sure. A lot more to come. That's for sure.
Well, man, I am so excited. I can't wait. You know, we'll definitely have to have you on, maybe do even a short little podcast for the big announcement when everything kind of is, is, you know, solidified as far as what's coming next, what, you know, avenues you'll be having this, you know, show on. I can't wait to learn more. I think it'd be amiss of me if I did not bring up and mention the lion on the Lambo.
Oh boy.
Dude.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I had seen it when it first happened and I'd never put it together until later on doing some research as we're kind of getting ready for this podcast. And I was just going, I wanted to ask about this because I've never seen a mountain lion on the Lamborghini before. That was just something that was like, there we go. I can now check that off the list of the amazing things. Cause being from Texas, I've seen some wild things. I mean, people in cars with cows in the back seat. That was another one to add to the list of like, now you haven't seen it. Now you have. Talk to me about what that was like for you, what the goal was, turned into a viral sensation. And ultimately, would you go through with it again? So go ahead and start us at the beginning on that story, if you wouldn't mind.
So we'd been lion hunting really hard and I ended up, getting a great tom with some good friends of mine. And, we came back to town and it was kind of the first nice day of spring and it was sunny out. And, my buddy Rob had his hounds and we had the cat and we were going to bring it to my taxidermist and we just happened to be over in my shop and my cars were over there. And I'm like, what if we put it on the car and brought it over to Nick? Nick is, he's been my taxidermist forever and good friend, great person. And I just like razzing him. So I'm like, let's show up in the Lambo with the lion. And, so it went from there to, okay, we could probably make something of this, gain a little traction. Let's post something and let's give away, a lion hunt and, a day at the track in the car, you know, for just somebody. And we posted this all in the narrative, just somebody who needs a pick me up, you know, someone who needs, needs something positive in their life. And so it went from that to, Drew took a short clip and I had my buddy Justin Fields over here and so we just made this short clip and edited it up and like, okay, we'll throw it on. A couple thousand people will see it and we'll get some good entries for this lion hunt and stuff, you know? And so we posted it and overnight it went insane. And it wasn't at all what we had expected or what we wanted to happen.
Right.
You know, but I mean, you put a redneck in a fast car and you're going to get lions on it, I guess. I see it as a car, you know, feel very blessed and I just love fast cars, but, it's still just a car to me. It doesn't you know, make me who I am or, you know, anything other than just a car that goes down the road, you know? So I put the lion on there and strapped it to the fender wells and went down the road. So, you know, didn't think of it much past that, but, I wouldn't do it again. That's for sure. You know, I think I probably had more backlash from hunters in the community than non-hunters, you know, which I respected, you know, and if I could have pulled it back, I would have, but there was no stopping it once it got out there. But, no, you know, I think it was for a good cause, but it was only meant to go, you know, a little
so
ways
far,
and have some good people sent our way that we could help out. And it went way, way further. And, you know, I think it does, it gives, you know, anti-hunters ammunition and look at that dumbass putting a lion on his car and blah, blah, blah. You're going to get all that, which is fine. But, I also think that we don't need to feed the fire as outdoorsmen. You know, I think that they get enough ammunition to come at us. So I would definitely wouldn't do it again. But there was some good that came out of it. And so, you know, I think about it that way, but it still pops up every once in a while, I'm like, please, please, please don't start going all over again, you know, cause you can't stop it. And, so that was quite the experience. And when it hit like, national Fox News and things like that, I thought I was going to have death threats and who knew what was going to happen, but it wasn't that way. You know, you obviously get a lot of comments of people hating and things like that, but you know, you got to take it as constructively as possible and move on. But yeah, that was something that wasn't meant to be that crazy.
Yeah. Well, it just kind of blew up in that sense, man. I mean, you know, I look at like what you're talking about now in your, you know, in these projects and this show and all the things that are going to come from this and the spotlights there. And, you know, I am so excited to see this, like I said, see this build, see what comes from the show, and where these are going to be going. Cause that's something I think is what's going to be turning viral. That's the thing that's going to really continually build every single year and snowball. Cause when you get behind the stories of people, and especially the struggles that we all go through, every single one of us goes through it. And I appreciate you, by the way, sharing, you know, part of yours and, you know, you overcoming it, some of the things that you tuned into. I think going into working with, you know, worked a lot of veterans who talk about nature, about fishing, about hiking, about hunting, about getting out there into those elements, that really soothes them. And they bring a part of that back with them into their daily life. And I think it's so important for us. And again, you know, I'm all about doing anything I can to give back to veterans. So if there's anything ever I can do to help you guys, if you need some maps along the way for some of the hunts, you know, I can do that. If there's, you know, whatever you need me to do, just kind of help to provide this platform, because these are the moments I believe that, you know, you're going to be putting out, they're going to be going truly viral and taking it to that next level. And, you know, that's something that I can't wait for, you know, you to accomplish and kind of be able to share. So I also forgot to just say one, thank you for your service. And what branch of the military were you in? What were you doing?
So I was, in the Army. Uh-huh. And, when I went overseas, I served as a EHAT trainer, so explosive awareness trainer. So we trained troops coming into country on explosive ordnance, TTPs, what to look for, how to identify them, who to reach out to if they found a roadside bomb, car bomb, things along those lines. So we worked close with the EOD teams over there. It was really rewarding, man. It was something that our whole team felt like we were making change over there, you know, and that's what was killing our guys. So, getting as much information out there as possible before they hit the road, was really important. So, it was a cool mission and something we were very proud of, but, it was good. And I got back from overseas and fully intended on going back over, and then ended up getting in, wrecking one of my semis. I had my family get a couple semis for me and started a trucking company before I got back. And I was in one of those trucks and someone pulled out in front of me and I ended up rolling and breaking my back and my neck up and everything really, really bad. And, so I ended up I was still in the military and ended up having to get medically discharged, which at the time was heartbreaking, you know, that was a tough one, especially when I saw, you know, friends and loved ones getting hurt or killed over there and knowing I couldn't do anything, you know, especially with the knowledge that we had. You know, that was a tough one, but it was something I'll never change. It was a crazy time over there and, you know, it makes you grow up so fast. I spent my 21st birthday in Baghdad. So, you know, it makes a man out of you quick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I come from a family of veterans and my cousin was over in Iraq probably around the same time you were, and just the different things. Like he told me one day he said he realized the day he needed to quit cigarettes when he was behind the glass in the passenger seat of a vehicle at like 3 a.m, lit up a cigarette and then heard, and he's like, looked up and the bulletproof glass had caught the bullet that was about to go right through his freaking in between his eyes. And he's like,
jeez,
you know, I've been told not to smoke cigarettes by my mom, but now He talked about, you know, in the near misses that he had, and then the not so near misses that his friends had, and like coming back and the struggles of like trying to be a survivor when your friends didn't make it, and the guilt and all that. I mean, that's one of the things I'm working on doing this next year is I want to do it about once a month where I'm doing a podcast that is by for about veteran awareness, mental health awareness, anything we can do to kind of shine the spotlight on, you know, this 22-day thing is just, it's too much, man. And 22 too many, right? Like it can't be happening. And whatever I can do. So I've got a bunch of foundations and organizations that I'm working with. There's some Patriot Anglers here in Texas that they take out a bunch of folks in the fishing realm. So I'm going to be a part of those and kind of a journalist of sorts and writing that out. But that's something that I get behind every single day that I possibly can. Anybody, you know, just kind of be a conduit to the message, man. Cause that's, to me, that I think those are the folks who, you know, that teachers, first responders, man, those are the people that I think should be taken care of the most in our society. Normally they get the shaft.
That's the shitty part is it just isn't that way, you know, and any awareness that we can raise and people seeing like lives get turned around and actually getting a second chance at life instead of just going in the bedroom and shooting themselves, you know? And, and I was that person. I was there. And, I can tell you it is the worst place in the world to be in when you're there. You don't think about the people you're leaving behind. You know, everyone says suicide is selfish. It is selfish. And I agree. And I've got a beautiful family and amazing people in my life. But when you're in that place, there's nothing else that crosses your mind. It's a scary, scary place to be. And if I can help even a few guys from being in that place of darkness and bringing them through to help them out, to get them in a better place, I'm going to do it every day for the rest of my life. You know,
how'd you get out of that?
I hit absolute rock bottom, man. And, I tried to kill myself and I was gone for 17 minutes and, that 17 minutes was the longest 17 minutes of my life. And, by the time the paramedics got there, I had been, getting CPR for those 17 minutes. But I was gone and they didn't think that they were going to be able to get me back. Somehow the paramedics were able to bring me back. On the way to the hospital, my heart stopped again. They got me going again. And then made it to the hospital and they were able to get me going again. But that was the point in my life where, I knew what it felt like, you know what I mean? I knew what that rock bottom felt like. And it is the absolute worst place you could ever want to be. You know, the things you do, the people you associate yourself, the terror that you subject yourself to, you know, it'll tear your whole life apart, you know? And I'm lucky I didn't lose my kids, my family, my businesses, my everything, you know? And that's where the amazing people in my life, really came through for me and believed in me and helped me through it, you know, all the way down to my ex-wife. You know, she was so graceful through the whole thing. And I don't know that she believed in me, but, she knew that the kids needed their dad you know, she, with some tough love, she really, really helped me through it, you know, I'll always thank her for that because it was, you know, a time where I didn't really deserve anything. I didn't feel like, you know, so it's definitely been a trying time, man. And it's a story I've never really told, but I want people to know, you know, I want people to know that it's okay to be at rock bottom, but there is damn sure a way to get out of it. And, you know, I waited till it was too late and, thank God somehow by the grace of God got through it and coming out the other side, I knew that I had a purpose and I knew that God wanted me here to do something and I am damn sure going to do it every day, you know, so that, that really is my motivating factor in everything that I do every day. I think that, you know, everybody sees the glam and the perfect life and the hunting and the cars and all the stuff we're blessed with in life. But, there's a lot of struggle that people have that others don't know about, you know, and I think that it's important that they do, you know, and I've never told my story, you know, and I've always been ashamed of myself and who I allowed myself to become and you know, the way I treated situations and things along the way and the way I treated certain people and it's just not something anybody's going to be proud of, but that doesn't have to define who you are either. You know what I mean? Like it if you use it constructively and learn from it and find purpose in life, you can come out of anything. And I only know that because I have. And I'm not one to preach to anybody because I've been trying to preach to myself and get myself to a good place, you know, but I do know what it's like being at rock bottom and being in the absolute darkest place you can be in life to where you don't want to live anymore. And coming out of that was a hand of God. And I'm certainly not going to waste any moment that I have moving forward, you know? So really that is, you know, in reality, the inspiration behind what I'm doing, you know, and I don't want to see other people go through that, man. I don't, it's such a scary place to be. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But I'm so blessed with the people in my life that support me, that I can talk to. You know, there's very few that even know this story, you know, but I feel like it's time that I do put it out there. And as hard as it is to talk about and you know, put out there to anybody, let alone everybody, I think it could help people. You know, and ultimately that's what I'm living my life for right now. So if it helps one person, you know, to reach out and to get through and work through that shit and get out to the other side, then it's worth telling my story.
You know? It is 100%. I mean, that sharing our testimonies and what we have, our hardships, the things that make us who we are, the human nature, and like being able to connect with other people and letting them know that it's okay that you've hit rock bottom, but there is the light. There is a ladder. There is a way to climb out of this. There's a way to move forward. There's a way to work on healing yourself. It won't happen overnight. It's not something that's going to be in it, but at least you can get that sliver of hope that'll give you that next edge to get through another day and then build upon the momentum of the last day and be able to surround yourself by the inspirational stories of yourself and other people who have gone through it and can be able to get to that other side. So Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being so open and honest and for deciding to come forth and talk and share your story. It's something that we, you know, we need to come together in humankind and realize that, you know, we are all here to help each other, that we'll all make through together, that we need our brotherhood, our sisterhood, our families, our friends to all rally around at any point in time so that we don't have to have any of the tragedies that we see every day all too often where somebody lost hope, lost that sliver, didn't have that next ring of the ladder to climb up. And, you know, I'm glad that you and other people are there to help provide that opportunity because we need it in this world and we need more positivity. And hey, man, thanks for being a beacon of it yourself. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I do have two last questions. One of which is about your legacy. You know, I've been asking everyone who's been coming on about how they want to be viewed, you know, their legacy, maybe, you know, personally and professionally. And I know you got a lot of Richmond that you can kind of talk about in both of those. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of giving, you know, listeners a little bit of an idea of like how you view legacy and you know, what you want to be remembered for.
You know, that's a big question that I have in my mind every single day, especially as of late, over this last year. Like I said, I feel like I lived for myself and selfishly and hurt a lot of people along the way and you know, did things I'm not proud of and and just life and relationships and things like that. And, you know, a lot of things I'm not sure I'll ever forgive myself for, but, you know, you talk a lot and think a lot about, you know, who's going to be at your funeral? What are they going to say at your funeral? And what type of legacy you are actually leaving behind. And at the end of the day, I want my kids to be proud of me. And I want to make enough of a positive difference in this world that will carry on. And I've been over the last year fighting every single day to do just that. And we're going to keep doing it until my last day. And I think for me, that's all I care about. You know, I don't need to leave my kids with millions of dollars. I want to leave them with memories, and I want to leave them with viable businesses that they can take over if they want to work hard, and they're going to inherit a lot of shoulder mounts, you know, but I want them to know that I did good by people and that I helped people and that we inspired other people to do so as well. So, you know, all I think about every day now is just making my family proud, you know, and doing the right thing by others and giving back. So really, I don't know what more you could want, you know, when you go than that. So,
yeah, no, good answers, man. I appreciate you sharing that and, you know, diving into your personal there a bit. You know, the last thing I just wanted to know is, where can people join this journey? How can they follow you? And kind of make sure whenever you're making that next big announcement that they got their finger on the pulse. So give us your socials. Where is the best place to follow this journey?
Yeah. So right now it's just The Other Side Ventures. You can look up on Instagram and Facebook, and then Will Ault. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well. You can look me up there. If y'all know of anybody who is going through a rough time, needs some help, let's try to help them out. Let's try to get them on a trip. If you want to be a part of taking a veteran or youth or somebody in need on a trip, I won't take your money, but I'll take you on a trip, and you can see what it feels like firsthand, to be a part of something like this. And, you know, as I move forward into this, that's one thing that I think will change more lives than anything else. And I think we'll get more people on board with helping. You know, you can donate $1,000 and know that it went to a good cause, and then you're like, okay, yep, I did my good deed. I'm good. But actually experiencing the change and the heartfelt love through one of these hunts, outdoor adventures, will change somebody forever. And I know that 100% with all my heart. So, you know, if y'all want to be a part of what we're doing and go on a hunt with a veteran and see the changes and the difference that you can make in someone's life, let me know and we'll set it up and you can go along and you can be a part of it and you can witness that change, you know? So, we haven't released any of our main platforms yet. We got to make sure they're perfect. It's something sure. that I've had a vision for quite some time now, and we got to make sure the name is right. And we got to, you know, we are going to go to network television, whichever platform we decide to go with. You know, we want to make sure that we're able to really show our hearts and our views and not have to adhere to somebody else's beliefs, you know, right. And same thing with sponsors. I haven't taken any sponsors just because, you know, I'm not doing it for the money. This has nothing to do with that. You know, I think that eventually here we will start taking sponsors for sure, just so we can impact and help more people. But we'll get back with you and when we release everything. And but as of right now, just go to our social media and, like I say, message me if you want to go on a trip and be part of helping somebody and changing someone's life. It's quite fulfilling. So you can always reach out to me.
Wonderful. Well, I know you've done just that. I've seen it on the videos. I've seen it on your posts. Definitely bring some friends along and everyone join in. Check this out. There's some wonderful adventures to come, wonderful people to help. And I just want to say thank you again, Will, for all that you're doing and all you're giving back. It's a wonderful thing all together. And I definitely appreciate you. And I thank you for coming and joining me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I sure appreciate it, bud.
Cheers, man. We'll talk soon, man. Can't wait.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye, brother.